Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Psalm 16 is our text today. We're going to concentrate on verses 6 through 11. This psalm was written by David, and it's prophetic because it deals in part with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter preached from this text in Acts chapter 2 when he was confirming the truth of Christ's resurrection. Verse 10, it's obvious, he says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And that's quoted in Acts chapter 2, in both in verse 27 and verse 31, concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, since this psalm was written by David, not only is it prophetic concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also helpful in its spiritual application to you and to me. Let's begin reading with verse 6. We'll read down to verse 11, and then we'll notice some of the things that we find in Psalm 16 that are a benefit to us when we set the Lord always before us. Verse 6. "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now we want to talk about this passage of Scripture, verse 6 through 11 of Psalm 16. Keeping in mind what he says in verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me." You see, in our lives, we are always influenced by the people who are around us, and we're influenced by the people with whom we associate. And that's because we often live to impress them. We're concerned about what they think. And when we try to impress them, we may do it with things that are true about us, the way we really are, or we may even do it with things that aren't true about us. We want them to be impressed with what they see, although what they see is not what we really are. And it's just a tough situation in life. There are some people not bothered by that at all, but most people are aware that others are looking. However, if you keep the Lord always before you, like Jesus did, like we read in this text, then you're going to be more concerned with what he wants for you than you're going to be concerned with the people around you. You're going to be like a horse in the arena, which is concentrating solely on his rider. I'm impressed whenever I've seen a rodeo, and the horse that comes into the arena with a barrel rider on its back concentrates on those barrels and not on the thousands of people that are screaming and yelling in the arena. Perhaps the roper comes out and that horse is just focused on that calf, whether it's team roping or calf roping or steer dogging or whatever it may be. That's impressive. That horse is not distracted by the folks in the arena. He's only concerned with his rider. And when we become more concerned with the Lord Jesus Christ than we are with those around us, we find that that's the result of keeping the Lord always before you. Like David said in Psalm 16:8, "I have set the Lord always before me." Now, when you set the Lord always before you, then you're going to reap some benefits, and those benefits are found in this text. First of all, verse 6, you're going to find that he gives you a goodly heritage. Now, a heritage is an inheritance, but a heritage is also something transmitted by or acquired from a predecessor. Like I could say, I have a ranching heritage because my family has been in the ranching business in partnership together since 1877. And there's a heritage with that, and it's an interesting thing. With Jesus Christ, we have both an inheritance, which is what we're going to receive when we die as a result of being children of God. We often say, and we're right, our home is in heaven. And when you remember that your home is in heaven and you set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, that affects how you live your life. You don't give up your inheritance by doing things that would cause you to lose that inheritance. But we also have a heritage with the Lord. Not only is our home in heaven, but we come from a good line of believers throughout history. When I preach, you'll often hear me say something about the Christians of our generation, because things have changed. We're in that generation of the last times. We're in that time of apostasy that has so affected our churches. And yet I'll say this, Christians are still, they're the right people, you know. I appreciate that we're God's children and not children of the world. But you can look back in history at all these famous or well-known to us anyway, preachers and missionaries and martyrs of time gone past. And that's your heritage. Those are your people. They stood during their generations, and you and I should stand to our generation because we have a goodly heritage. We also see from Psalm 16:7 that when we set the Lord before us, the Lord gives us counsel. David said, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel." You get counsel from the Lord. You say, well, how do I get that? Well, you get it from the Bible. Specifically, the Lord guides you with his words as he brings them to your remembrance through prayer. In other words, if you're a Bible reader, and if you're not, you should be. I read a psalm every day. I read a proverb every day because they line up with the days of the month usually. And then I read some pages of the Bible every day. And in my case, 10, but that's neither here nor there. You need to read what God wants you to read, what you can digest, what you can handle. That was a pattern I set for myself years ago to give me some way to keep reading. Obviously, if I hit something I need to meditate on, I may curtail that and spend more time on the text that I'm reading. But for the most part, I keep reading and then leave that other stuff to studying. Now, why? Why? Because there is now an arsenal of Scripture. And through prayer, when I'm sorting out something, need counsel from the Lord, he brings verses of Scripture to my remembrance, generally from where I've been reading, but not always, that allow me to follow his counsel. And that's because the Lord is before me, and that's what happens in your life. When you go to church, you regularly attend church, and the preacher is preaching. His preaching and his teaching are going to expound the Bible, but they're also going to address things in your life that the Lord wants you to concern yourself with. And you get that when the Lord is before you. If you go to church and you're distracted by what people are wearing and how they look and how the kids are acting and all that other stuff, then the Lord is not before you and you're not going to hear his counsel, you see? So you keep the Lord always before you. And walk in that goodly heritage and walk in that good counsel. Also notice from Psalm 16:7, he says, "My reins also instruct me in the night season." Now reins, R-E-I-N-S, is spelled the same way as the reins on a horse, but that's not what these reins are. It's not like you're in a bridle and the Lord is moving you from side to side. The reins are the seat of the feelings or passions in you. In other words, you say, well, that's my heart. Not exactly, because in Psalm 7:9, we read that the Lord, the righteous God, trieth the hearts, that's one thing, and reigns, that's another thing. You've seen that same distinction in Psalm 26, verse 2, and in other places, the heart and the reins. The heart, you know, that's where you think, he says, the thoughts of the imagination of their heart were only foolish continually, or only wicked continually. So that's where your thinking and other things like that are taking place. Your reins, have you ever had butterflies before you had to do something that was a little spooky to you? And you feel that feeling in your chest and in your abdominal area down, sometimes they say in your stomach. That's kind of the area of your reins. And when you are being instructed by the Lord in the night season, it's like the peace that passeth all understanding. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that peace settles over you. Some folks asked me one time, how are you guided when he says he instructs you, you know, through the, in your reins in the night seasons? My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. How is that? Well, sometimes I'll be concerned about a thing. I'm mulling it over. It's bothering me or whatever. It's, you know, I'm not settled on it. So go and read the Bible and pray. And then at some point, the Lord brings a verse of scripture to mind. And you're like, that is it. That's it. That's the direction that I'm going to take. And then all of a sudden, this peace of God comes over you. And you're like, you know what? This is the right thing. Contrary to that, you will notice sometimes you are following the Lord. He is before you. And then suddenly you want to go watch a movie that he doesn't want you to watch, or you go spend your time on the internet doing something he doesn't want you to do. And you're going to feel something, we say, in your conscience, that you're drifting from the Lord. You're making a decision or taking an action that he doesn't want you to do. That's the instruction of your reins. It's also like the comfort of the Holy Spirit. When you've made the right decision, you have comfort from the Spirit of God that you're on the right track. And these instructions are so much better than being instructed by your emotions. When you're instructed in your reins by the Lord rather than by your emotions, you're going to make wise decisions. Emotional decisions are irrational decisions. You make the wrong decision when you get emotional. You are instructed by the Lord in your reins more than you are by your lusts or by your desires or by your ambitions. And that's good. That's what you want. And when the Lord is before you, he can do that for you. Your reins can instruct you in the night seasons. But notice something else. In Psalm 16, verse 8, he grounds and settles you. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Oh, that's a great place to be. You see, people out in the world may tempt you from time to time to go, hey, come on, do this with me. Oh, it won't hurt. No big deal. You skip church today. Who cares? You know, I mean, you get to do that every Sunday, but you don't always get to do this. Why don't you come with me? No, a person who has the Lord always before him is a person who will not be moved. I shall not be moved, David said. I'm grounded. I'm settled. I've made this decision. This is my commitment, and I'm not changing for you or for anybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, fabulous verse of scripture after dealing with all those great verses on the resurrection. And what does he say? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, rooted and grounded in faith, Ephesians 3:17 says. So when you're rooted and grounded with the Lord, because he's right there before you, and you have what you end up with is a good foundation upon which to build your life. You've built your life on a rock because you're listening to the instruction of the Lord and you're doing what he says. Not only that, but you have set down a deep root in your tree so that you will bear much fruit. You'll find out sometimes when the Lord is ever before you that sometimes he has to take you through tough things in order for you to learn some of the things that he wants you to learn. You'll suffer, and you'll think, now, well, this can't be right. I'm suffering. No, if you've been instructed, your reins instruct you in the night seasons. You're following his counsel, and He is ever before you. The fact that you are going through something tough right now, something hard right now, some afflictions, some tribulations, some suffering, that doesn't mean that you're in the wrong direction at all. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Oh, when you get there, you are unmovable. Your friends in the world may say, "Come on, let's go nap." I don't do that. I'm standing right here. You can stand with me if you want to follow the Lord, but I'm not going with you. I'm not moving. Why? You've already paid that price. You've already suffered a little. You are settled. That's a good thing. When the Lord is always before you, according to Psalm 16, verse 9, He also makes you glad and you rejoice. Look at verse 9. "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth." Now, what does it mean to be glad? To be glad is to be happy, to be cheerful. You know, I noticed something. There are things I've done in the world. You have too. And you say, "Well, I'm glad I did that. It kind of made you happy, kind of made you cheerful." But those things happen, but they don't last. When you're glad because the Lord is ever before you, you are glad because He's ever before you, because you're in fellowship with the Lord. And may I tell you something? He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That gladness, that happiness never changes. Proverbs 15:13 says what? "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." I've seen people go through the death of a loved one after decades of marriage. Obviously they sorrow. Obviously they shed tears. They're supposed to. It's part of what happens. But I've also seen them smile with a radiant smile that said, "You know, I am so thankful for the years that I had together with my husband or with my wife. And I am so thankful for the peace of God." There's a gladness in there. There's a confidence in the Lord. There's a cheerfulness that mollifies the grief, and you can rejoice. It takes time. I understand that. But it's there. Even in those circumstances, most of the time, we're not having to deal with something that grievous, that hard. We're just happy. We're just cheerful. That's why when you go to a church where people are saved and they know it and they sing, there's something about the ministry of that music that gets in your heart and you say, "Man, these folks are, they're glad, they're happy." And to rejoice, He says He's going to make you glad and rejoice. To rejoice is to express your gladness to Him and to express your gladness to others. Paul said, "Rejoice evermore" in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing. You're not going to do that if you're just riding the roller coaster of emotions. You're going to be up and down. But when the Lord is ever before you, always before you, then what happens is there is a joy in that. Doesn't make a difference what the circumstances are. Macedonian church made a commitment. They're going to take up a big offering for those poor saints down in Jerusalem. Boy, all of a sudden they were hit with a famine, a great trial of affliction. And the Bible says that all abounded to the riches of the liberality. Why? Because of the abundance of their joy. The abundance of their joy. You say, how could they have that in a time like that? Because the Lord was always before them. And you're rejoicing in the Lord, not in the circumstances. You're rejoicing in the Lord and in His fellowship with you. And He gives you that. He makes you glad and He makes you rejoice. Psalm 16, verse 9 goes on to say, "My flesh also shall rest in hope." Well, when you have the Lord always before you, He gives you rest in hope. You have hope in the Lord. Now, when you read about hope in Romans chapter 5, it starts out like this. Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. You see, It's easy to rest when everything around you is at rest. It's not easy to rest when things around you are turbulent. I remember Jesus Christ in a boat with the disciples, and there was a raging storm. They were despairing of life, and he was asleep. You say, how in the world could he possibly be asleep? Because he knew he had hope in the Lord. He knew that that was not going to be the method of his death. He knew that was not going to be the day of his death, and so he had rest in hope. Visiting with a lady in our church whose circumstances have looked very bleak at times. I mean, I don't even want to describe the situation. Said to me, you know what? I have hope. I said, really? She said, my hope is not in my circumstances, but in the Lord. Oh, that's something. Why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Listen, the evidence of things not seen. And according to Romans chapter 8, we're saved by hope, but hope is that is not seen. See, that's hope. We're not hoping for something we can see. If you look around at your circumstances, you say, this is hopeless. Quit looking at the circumstances. Quit looking at your surroundings. Look at the Lord. Keep the Lord always before you, because you can always hope in God. You say, well, he's not seen. Yeah, but he's right in front of you. He's right before you. You're walking with him, and he gives you hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we hope in those things that are not seen and rest in them. Oh, it's one thing to have hope, and it's another thing to have rest so you can just go to sleep in that hope and say, it's all going to be fine. And then verse 11, we find these wonderful things. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. When the Lord is always before you, he can lead you. He shows you the path of life. He makes your path clear. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so then there's no uncertainty and there's no doubt in your direction. You know something? You don't have to see far down the road to know where you're going. Not really. I mean, not in the Christian life. You just need to see where to put your next step down. I've told somebody that recently in counseling. I said, look, don't worry about how it looks that far down the road. You don't have to see that far. All you need to see is, Lord, where shall I put down my foot? What's the next step? And when you make the next step, it works out. Listen, Bob Jones Sr. said, the best way to prepare for tomorrow is to do what you ought to do today. The best way to prepare for tomorrow is not to make preparations for next year. The best way to prepare for tomorrow is to do what you ought to do today. And may I tell you something? The Lord will show you what you ought to do today when he is before you. So keep the Lord always before you, and he will show you the path of life. Beautiful, beautiful. What happens is usually the chaos is before us. We see this problem and that problem, can't see the Lord. Well, put those things to the side and get with the Lord, and then you'll see. Also in Psalm 16:11, we find that when we keep the Lord always before us, he gives you the fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Wherever he is, that where you are, there is where there is fullness of joy. You see, there's nothing in the world to compare with his divine joy. Somebody asked me the other day about this passage and said, well, what is that joy like? I said, it's indescribable. Once you have experienced this joy for yourself, then you'll know just how good it is, but it can't be described. I'll tell you something, there's nothing in the world to compare to it. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that it's full and lasting. I know that. Because that's what he said. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You're just going to have to believe him and trust him and keep the Lord before you. Follow his counsel. Follow his instructions in the night. Become unmovable. Rejoice. Rest in his hope. Follow the path of life and you'll have that joy. It's there. It's like, what is it? Like the gold at the end of the rainbow. You know that's not there. But I'll tell you, this joy is there. And the other thing about it is that joy just gets better with time. It does. It becomes more settling, more grounded, more a part of your being. And you say, well, I don't understand this. You don't have to understand it. You just have to believe it and accept that that's what the Lord's going to do for you. And then in the conclusion of this message, we notice when the Lord is always before you, Psalm 16:11 says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Always and forever you enjoy these pleasures. But you know what? You need to stay right there with him in his presence at his right hand. You just need to stay right there with him the whole time. Now, these pleasures are spiritual pleasures. The Bible says about the generation in which we live, they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But the pleasures that this world is seeking are sensual pleasures, and the pleasures at the right hand of the Lord are not sensual. You say, well, then how can they be pleasures? They are pleasures that are far better than sensual pleasures. Listen, sensual pleasures always evaporate. Have you ever noticed that? You can tell me the time when you ate the best steak you've ever eaten in your life. But you know something? You woke up the next morning and that steak went through you. And next day, you got the memory of it, but the sensual pleasure of the taste of it is gone. You say, oh, I've been to the most beautiful vacation spot in all of my life. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. Okay, well, you're not there now. You're living in the memory, but the sensual pleasure you derive from what you saw and what you smelled and where you were, it's gone. Honeymoon's over, baby. That's the way it is. That's sensual pleasures. They're here today and gone tomorrow. Not this pleasure. He says here, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know what that means? That means forevermore. And those are pleasures that don't wane. They're not just memories. They are there. They're real. They're not sensual, but they are good. And once again, like the joy, once you experience them, you know what they are. But until then, you have to trust that by keeping the Lord ever before you, you will find those pleasures. It's going to take weaning off of some of these sensual pleasures to really experience them because they're so different and they're so much better. So always keep the Lord before you. When you do, you'll have a good inheritance. You'll always have his wise counsel, and he'll instruct you in the night. You'll be unmovable. You'll be grounded and settled, and you'll be established, and the world's not going to move you off of that mark. You'll be glad inside. You'll rejoice on the outside. You'll rest in hope. You'll know the path of life, and you'll walk in the path of life. You'll have the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Now, why wouldn't you keep the Lord ever before you? You say, well, my friends don't. Okay. Then forget them. Forsake the foolish and live, the Bible says. And find, I'm telling you, you will have a life without regret if you live with the Lord always before you. And if you always walk with him, right behind him. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.